This morning, we're going to be hearing from Malachi. It is the last chapter of the Old Testament. Malachi had been called by God to share wise and divine communication with the Israelites. The name Malachi means my messenger. Wouldn't it be nice to know if the Lord, at the end of our lives, he says to you, thank you for being my messenger? That's one of the goals we should have. Share his word. It had been about 100 years since they had come back from the exile in Babylon. The temple had been rebuilt and Eden had been destroyed. Many of the people of Judah, now living in Israel, whom Esau had previously led, were once again failing in their relationship with God. So the Israelites had returned to Israel. All of the people there at that time were doubting the love and justice of God. Even the descendants of Jacob who were chosen and loved. Remember, Jacob was chosen over Esau? Culturally, the formerly dispersed Israelites were now arguing with those dependents of royal families and priestly families which should rule over the lands, which should have the power of Jerusalem. Sounds almost like today, right? There was a blending of righteousness and evil at that time, godly and ungodly. Failure to obey God is sin. God does not tolerate false teaching and untrue worship. He does demonstrate his love peacefully. Malachi used a question-answer form of dialogue to help the people sense the attitude of God. In community, reconciliation is sought with discernment. God's faithfulness is the central theme of Malachi's writings. There is hope for those who fail. Failure is not final. There is forgiveness. Malachi, starting at chapter 1, verse 1. A prophecy, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? And yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated, and I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, the people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. Things were definitely getting worse in Israel. The people's hearts were turning cold, and they were becoming discouraged, skeptical, and very cynical. What does God do? He declares and reaffirms his love. His love is real and unconditional. The Israelites question, how have you loved us? There had been a drought, and a continuing drought, and so they felt very neglected, and they felt very unfairly treated. They finally land on this attitude. We humans do this. If God doesn't care, why should we? And why does God love them more than us? God showed his love through protection, through the trials, and we mustn't doubt his love. His love for Israel and beyond Israel. His love will extend through all nations. He has chosen you. Don't walk away from God. He has chosen you. His love for you is unconditional. Romans 5:8 reads, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Israel was being built after the rule of the Babylonians. We need to recognize that God loves us whether we feel it or not. Sometimes we don't feel it, but it's there.
Amen.
Verse 6. A son honors his family and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, priests, who show contempt for my home. But you ask, how have you shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? The questions continue. In what way have we despised your name? In what way have we defiled you? It was the priest's duty to honor and dignify the sacrificial system. And God asks, why is there such little respect given to me based on their sacrifices? The animals were sick, lame, or blind. They were improper. That attitude, you're not giving to me, I'm not giving to you. You won't notice if I give you a little bit less. You're not meaningful to me. I'll give you less. Well, over time, the priests were not grateful for their own ministry. It was like the people were simply going through the motions, like they didn't care anymore. Could the people not afford any better? Verse 9. Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? We know that answer, right? If we just drink a little bit, if we just swear a little bit, if we just show up at work a little late, God will still love us. But we're not giving him our best. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying, the Lord's table is defiled and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them to sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Our Heavenly Father would be better to shut the doors of the temple rather than continue with worthless worship. Selfish and shallow worship would be cursed. And God knows everything we do and everything we think, even if we try to hide it. God desires that we have pure and sincere hearts, not ones that are deceitful and self-seeking. Ananias and Sapphira's story, which is found in Acts 5, 1 through 11, shares that they were judged by God for lying to the Holy Spirit. God rules and is active in this world. And he has the power to do as he wills with his creation. This Bible story again is found in Acts 5. Once there was a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira. They sold some land and gave some of the money to the church. But Ananias, with his wife's knowledge, secretly kept some of the money for himself and only gave a little bit to the churches. Peter, one of the leaders of the church, asked him, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds from the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God." When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. Everyone who heard about what happened to Ananias became afraid. The young man then picked up his body, wrapped it up, and carried it out and buried it. A few hours later, Sapphira came in, and Peter asked her how much they had sold the land for. Sapphira also lied and said they sold it for the same amount that Ananias had shared. Peter then told her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." And suddenly Sapphira fell down and passed away. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Everyone in the church was very scared after hearing about what had happened to Ananias and Sapphira. The lesson is to remember how important it is to be honest and truthful to God and to people. Don't be joyful at church and go home and be grumpy. Don't be joyful at our luncheons and then go food shopping and not smile at someone. Do not allow the evil of this world to lead you to sin. Do not deceive the Holy Spirit. Making yourselves look and only look more spiritual than you are is a sin. Hold on to that lovely spirit that God has placed within your heart continuously. Ananias and Sapphira both knew they were doing the wrong thing. They were both followers of Christ who were genuine converts, and they both knew what they were doing was wrong. If only one had stopped and said, "No, this is right, not right." If only one had said, "Let's pray about this," things might have changed. Satan filled their hearts. They were not godly, pure, or radiant. Their lying continued and continued until it stopped. We should take sin seriously and strive to live a life that is pleasing to God. God will not go without worship. That's why we're here this morning. God's way of fulfilling the promise to spread his word is further established through Jesus' command to spread the gospel to every nation, beginning with worship. And we are worshiping God at this little blessed church on these holy properties. Our worship basically reflects in our lives. Don't you carry it with you? What you hear, who you shared with, what we sang. Don't you carry it with you for the week? If it only lasts till Monday, think about how you can change things so that it lasts for the week. Go back and reread what I've shared. Go back and look at the songs that we've sung. The verses that were shared by others in church. Write them down. Reread them. Be a reflection of our worship. True worship is honoring God and bringing the very best to him. He continues to love his people with a true, real love. He's not obliged to love us, but his unconditional love is intimate and personal for each one of you. Our words and our actions hold real consequences for us. At the end of the Old Testament, God challenges people to shake off spiritual apathy, laziness, and indifference. He challenges hypocritical practices. He knows they happen. In Malachi, the people recognize that our Lord will not only come to judge his people, but also to bless and restore his people. Our good God continues to show people an incredible love. May we continue to study his word to understand the immensity and the grandness of his love. God is world of our all. The best of what we have and the best of who we are. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray to ask you to help us give you that which is pleasing to you. Allow us to give you our whole heart and mind. May we surrender all to you. We thank you for your unconditional love, and we thank you for this time of worship and reflection. Fill our hearts as we prepare to leave this service. May the hope of Christ dwell within us during times of trials, Lord. May the hope of Christ dwell within us. May the hope of Christ dwell in us as we inspire to spread the joy of the Lord wherever we go. In your precious name, amen.